This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, as you just heard, and I'm delighted and happy to be with you today. Looking forward to talking with you. I do. I love when you keep our phone lines busy, and so does Matthew Gubensky. He is our call screener, and you give him something to do during this hour. You help him to do his job. So I do invite you to give us a call here. I've got a toll-free number for you right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to get to you today. We do. And if you call, you know, in those last couple of minutes, sometimes I just am not able to get to you because we run out of time. Don't want that to happen to you. So call in early. I'm going to be taking your questions or comments on anything that you want to talk about today. We're wide open. Open for discussion. We are wide open for conversation today. I also want to let you know that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply go there, use the chat feature, leave your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement there, and we will be sure to get it. I want to tell you about some of the things that are coming up at Women of Grace, but I also want to tell you about some of the opportunities that we offer you right online there. All of our television programs are archived for you there. So, you know, if you're looking for a particular topic or something, you can go to the search engine and put that topic in. And in most cases, it's going to bring something up for you. We've been doing programming with EWTN since 1988. So I can't even begin to tell you how many programs are there, you know, for you to watch right there online, really to help you live that abundant life and to share that abundant life with others. And also to resolve, you know, some questions that you might have about the faith. So just go out there and take a look. As I say, you can watch them right online there, and they're sure to help you. Our radio programs are archived there for you, too. So I invite you to use that opportunity for radio, as well as the EWTN app, where you can listen to us live via that app. You can do that through our Women of Grace app, too. But there's an on-demand feature on the EWTN app, and you can go to our program. We're the last one listed because it's alphabetical, and we are Women of Grace, so the W is very late in the alphabet. And therefore, we are the last one that's listed. Just scroll to the end there and click on that. You'll be able to listen to past programs. So if you miss a show during the week or somebody says to you, oh, wow, that was a really, you know, hard question that came up, or, oh, my question got answered, you can go out there and you can listen to it. So I invite you to do that. So that's one of the very beautiful things that we've got for you there. Also, too, our retreat talks and various webinars that we have hosted here at Women of Grace, they're available for you online. And here's a feature that I use all of the time. I really do. It's something that just brings me very great joy on so many levels. The greatest prayer that we have, what is the greatest prayer? We could make that a trivia question, but I'm going to answer it for you, so don't call in with the answer. The greatest prayer that we can pray is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It's our highest prayer. It is the representation of the salvific act of our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that through the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, that which happened in the past is made present in the moment. Though Jesus died on Calvary's Hill for us at a specific moment in time, it's an eternal action. We know it's eternal. It's an eternal action, or else we wouldn't be able to experience it through the sacrament of baptism. That salvific action is held in the eternal moment. When we celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass, by way of the sacrament of holy orders that was instituted at the Last Supper, and by way of apostolic succession, every priest who has validly received the sacrament of holy orders, when he pronounces the words of consecration, that host, that wine, cease to be host, cease to be wine, even though the accidents remain. That's the theological term, meaning that they look the same, they smell the same, they taste the same. They cease to be that. They become for us the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout time, God in his mercy, to heal our wounded hearts and to enlighten our darkened minds, has seen fit to permit Eucharistic miracles to happen. And there's many Eucharistic miracles, many of them. They're not as uncommon as we think. The most famous, of course, I think, is the miracle of Lanciano, where a doubting Basilian monk in the year 800 came before the people, was about to celebrate Mass, was riddled with doubt, questioning whether he should even celebrate because the doubt was so great in him, but nonetheless persevered. And when he lifted the host after the words of consecration, he, his eyes not beholding it because it's raised higher than his eyesight, the people, however, in beholding it, fall to their knees and exclaim and cry. And he slowly brings the host down and sees that it has become the flesh of our Lord. As recent as the 1970s, tests were done on that Eucharistic miracle, which remains in the form that it was from the year 800 until now. And what the finding revealed was that indeed it is flesh. Indeed, there is blood, type AB. Indeed, it is myocardium tissue. What is that? It's heart tissue. Heart tissue. Now, how could it be preserved from the year 800 to the present day? How did it become myocardium tissue? How could it have a blood type AB? Because God, in his mercy toward you and in his mercy toward me, wanted us to see the reality of the miracle that happens at every holy sacrifice of the Mass, when a validly ordained priest confects the bread and the wine. And that's why the Mass is the highest prayer that we have. Because Jesus Christ himself dwells among us. To that end, we have an opportunity for you at our website to have Masses celebrated for individuals who may need a Mass that are living, or for your deceased loved ones. I must tell you, I make use of it regularly. The donation that you make for that helps to support the priests in the Archdiocese of Gulu in northern Uganda, who depend upon Mass stipends for their own daily bread. It is the only money source of income that they have. So it's a corporate work of mercy and a spiritual work of mercy. And it's available for you at our website. We're going to be right back, inviting you to stay with us. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, eager to hear from you today. The phone lines are open. Yippee! 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. Let me slow that down for you. 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone and give us a call there. We're eager to hear from you. Also, very happy to receive your questions or comments out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature and we'll get it retrieved for you and up on the board. Do believe, I'm not really sure. I know Matthew Kubensky is our call screener today, and I think that Michael McCall is our social media person, and most definitely the one and only Rich Jesse is our producer. So we're all here as a happy little team just waiting for you to get in touch with us. We'll take your question on anything you want to talk about today. I was talking about the availability for you out there at our website to have a Mass celebrated for someone that you know might be in need of a Mass, or to have a Mass celebrated for the deceased soul, of a loved one, your dearly departed. We even have novena of Masses, and we've got Gregorian Masses. And as I was sharing with you prior to the break, this is a feature that I use all of the time. I personally use this all of the time. And whenever someone says to me, going through a really difficult trial or circumstance or situation, I will oftentimes have a Mass celebrated via our website. I don't always let them know, but nonetheless, it to me is just a marvelous way of being in union with my brothers and sisters in Christ through the sacrificial action of our Lord represented to us through the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So I encourage you to use that feature out there. And I was sharing with you too that it's the priests in the Archdiocese of Gulu in northern Uganda who celebrate these Masses for us. They depend upon Mass stipends for their sustenance. The Archdiocese there is not wealthy. It cannot pay them a salary as we enjoy here in the United States of America. The fact of the matter is these dear men depend upon the gratuity and generosity of their people, who also are poor population. So through an effort like ours, we are really able to participate in a corporal work of mercy, and that is providing them with the food that they need to be able to sustain themselves. And also some of the other efforts, that they're about. Many of them have motorcycles and go into the bush country to minister to their people. So those motorcycles need maintenance. Those motorcycles need gas. It's all of those things that we go to a pump and get and don't think too much about. Well, today I guess we do because the prices are so darn high. But for them, no. So, it's not an easy matter whatsoever. And when they can't make those trips, then their people are deprived of the sacrament, sometimes even the anointing of the sick or the last rites. So, this is a beautiful thing. So it's a spiritual work of mercy because you are praying on behalf of the person who has either left this temporal existence, or you're praying for someone who has a special need, but you're also helping these priests. So I want to encourage you to use that opportunity. Lots of other events that are coming up out there. Importantly, right at this present moment, in addition to the very good online events that we're having to introduce you to our Women of Grace Foundational Study, either by participating in one or finding out about how it is that you can become a facilitator. In addition to all of that, coming up really soon now on April 22nd, we begin our Benedicta Institute for Women, our spring week-long immersive at Our Lady of Florida Spiritual Center there in North Palm Beach, Florida. And Dr. Wallenfang is our instructor. He's going to be leading us through an exploration of who is woman, the journey from Eve to Mary. It's going to take us through classes that he will be presenting to us. We are going to learn a great deal. I can honestly tell you, we're going to learn a great deal. In addition to that, Bishop William Walterscheid, who is our spiritual advisor for all of the efforts of Women of Grace, including our Benedicta, is going to be with us, and he'll be giving us many teachings on our Blessed Mother. It's going to be a beautiful opportunity. I was sharing with you yesterday that we're getting down to the wire now, so we're probably going to have to close out registration in the very near future. I don't want for you to be locked out. We just have a couple of spaces available. We hold the numbers because this is a very interactive time. There's a lot of activity that goes on in terms of discussion and by way of our fellowship time. So for that reason, we limit it. We limit it to a tidy group, but we do have a couple of spaces available here. We would like to fill them. I'd like to fill them with you. So please do get out there, check it out. We will answer any of your questions. I know some of you are on the fence. I my people tell me things. And they say, well, we had somebody call in and, she said she was going to register and she didn't get there when she said she was going to. So we're going to give her a call back just to see if she's going to come. So, don't be on the fence. If the Holy Spirit is prompting you, take a dive. You know, what do you have to lose? Nothing. You have nothing to lose. You can gain a certification in Catholic women's leadership through this effort. But in addition to that, the spiritual enrichment aspect of it is going to be great too. So even if you're not really saying, I don't know that I want a certification in Catholic women's leadership, just for the edification of your life of faith, a beautiful, beautiful opportunity for you. So please do check it out. We will let you know at that event, and I'll let you know via radio of other upcoming Benedicta opportunities, because obviously in a certification program, there's going to be offerings that come along on a routine basis. And we're very excited about this. We really are. This, I do believe, is a work of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we wouldn't be engaged in it. It's, I think, something that is very necessary for our day and time. We have been prevailed upon by the Lord with, attempted various ways of issuing this forth. But I think that this is the key. So all of that being said, we work here at Women of Grace for one reason. We want to bring Jesus Christ to the world and the world to Jesus Christ. It's a very Marian-oriented mission. And that's what we're about the business of doing. And we want you to join us in that effort by way of where you are in your state in life, by way of joining us at one of our events and growing in your faith. God wants to use you in marvelous ways. Sometimes we think, oh no, that's reserved for just a few. Yes, it is. It's reserved for all of the predestinate, those who are baptized in Christ Jesus. So that's just a few. But nonetheless, you are part of a royal priesthood, you know, in the non-ministerial sense, right? The ministry of the laity. You are incorporated into it, unless, of course, you are a priest. Then you have the ministerial priesthood. All of that being said, we want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. That's 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. We are here for you today. Eager to have that holy conversation with you. So let's get out there and make use of that opportunity. Again, it's 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Danny in Cleveland, Ohio has answered the call to call. How about those apples? We've got Danny with us. He's listening to us via The Rock. Hi, Danny.
Hi. May the grace of the good Lord be with you today. I like listening to your show, and I always follow up with Debbie and Jerry with Take Two on their YouTube stream.
I am calling today.
I am a kidney cancer survivor, but tomorrow I have an MRI of my head, of which I've been having chronic headaches, and I had two major surgeries, of which was the kidney cancer and a huge hernia fixed. And I do have anxiety and general post-traumatic stress disorder, and I have a mental illness. I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm just asking for the Women of Grace and EWTN to say a prayer for me that this MRI is going to be negative, and it's just the pain in my head, as my neurologist said, is just nothing but stress and anxiety and maybe a pinched nerve. I had some osteophytes on my spine, which means just bone spurs, but I am just asking for some prayers right now from the whole EWTN family.
Well, Danny, so much that I want to share with you just on what you've said. First of all, I just want to thank you for your absolute humility in calling in for prayer and your humility in admitting that you have all of these issues that seem to be kind of like a Molotov cocktail, you know, that wants to explode within you right now. I think it is absolutely common when people are going in for major tests when they have had cancer to have some anxiety and some fear. It's part of the human condition. I remember that with my dad. He had bladder cancer to a degree that his urologist said he had never seen in his 30-some years of practice. And every time he had to go in with follow-up from his surgery, I mean, it began, you know, days before. He would just get tighter than a ball of yarn that a kitten had played with, you know, just all in knots. And it was very, very difficult for him. Also, too, when my late husband would go in for his MRIs, he eventually died from terminal brain cancer. You know, that was always, you know, anxious moments for all of us as a family. It's the fear of unknowing. But the good news is that our God is there in the midst of our fear. That's the false evidence of the evil one. He wants to present false evidence appearing real to us, and he gets us tied in knots, and that only exacerbates whatever the symptom might be. You know, that symptom gets ratcheted up, and you know all this, but that doesn't necessarily quell the emotions. God's grace is there for you. He wants you to realize it and experience it. He wants you to know it. So we are going to pray. We're going to pray right now. We're going to pray that the God of peace, the Holy Spirit, who gives us that peace that surpasses understanding, who eradicates all irrational fear, would come and would dissolve that irrational fear that you might be feeling. We're also going to ask this God of ours, who has demonstrated his love for us through all of the miracles of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to obtain for you a complete and total healing of whatever is causing these headaches, whether it's the anxiety, whether it's the, you know, osteo issues, whether it's something else. We're going to ask him to eradicate all of that. And we're going to also ask him to really penetrate those areas of your body that have been afflicted by cancer before, or by any kind of irregularity, such as the hernia. We're going to ask him to penetrate all of that tissue, and with his healing fire, right, to heal it completely, to cauterize it, to purify it, to strengthen it. We're going to ask him for all of that. And so I'm going to ask all of you to pray with me as we pray for Danny right at this very moment. And, you know, scripture tells us too, Danny, that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there with them. He's right there in their midst. And so you and I are for sure gathered, and we are too. But I know that there's tons and tons and tons, hundreds, maybe thousands, 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 thousands of people that are praying with you and for you right at this very moment as we come together. What a great cloud of witnesses we have in the heavenlies. What a great cloud of witnesses all of you who are praying right this very moment are. And so it is, Father, that we come before you and we lift your son, Danny, up to you. Father God, how precious he is in your sight. How deeply you love him, Lord. Oh, Father God, from the moment that you conceived him in your mind, which was from all eternity, and you saw him, you longed for that moment when you would give him life in the womb of his mother. And when that proper, exact moment came, you brought Danny into existence. And in a way that is so specific to him, you endowed him with your very image, that he might be a reflection of you. Father, we thank you for the gift of your son. We thank you for who he has been in the lives of so many people. We thank you for all of the people who have meant so much to him in his life. And we thank you for the good men and women who have worked with the sciences that you've revealed through their efforts in those medical arts to bring him to this point in time, to bring him to this place of healing. Father, we know that we live in a broken and fallen world, and one of the realities of this world is disease. We know that cancer is a horrible, diabolical disease, Lord, that does not come from your perfect and divine and holy heart. But because we live in this world and sin abounds, we are afflicted by it. You tell us in Scripture that it rains on the good and the evil alike. And so this particular rainfall fell upon your son, Danny. But Father, the beautiful thing is the sun comes out and dries up all the rain. And we're asking now that sun, the S-O-N, that sun now, the power of the Holy Spirit would effect a healing in Danny just as he effected when he walked on the face of this earth. because he is not bound by time and space. And all that is held there in the eternal moment is poured out upon us when we ask for it. And we're asking for this healing for Danny. We're asking that through the light of the Holy Spirit, through the purging fire of the Holy Spirit, all of those areas of his body that have been affected by this cancer would be penetrated and brought to new life, Lord, that the old, you know, the old, Lord God, would be burned away, that the new might come forth, Lord. I'm asking, Father God, that this anxiety, this malady of spirit that has affected your son, this post-traumatic stress disorder and all of the manifestations of it and the symptomology of it, Lord God, right now, through a sovereign act of yours, would be arrested, would be captured by the crown of thorns of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and brought to submission at his cross. Father God, we are in the Easter season. We are in this season when we celebrate the resurrection of your Son from the dead. And we, as your holy people, participate in this resurrection. May this resurrection happen in the body and the mind and the soul of your son, Danny. May this MRI be clear. May this bill of good health release him from any irrational fear that the evil one would try to enslave him to. And may he find the fullness of life that comes by way of union with you. We offer this prayer in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. Dear Danny, please call and let us know the outcome. Friends, we're going to be right back with you on the other side of the break. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. Please do.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are so happy that you are with us today, and I want to hear from you. I do. We just had Danny, who called in from Cleveland. He was listening to us via The Rock, and we prayed for him for his MRI that he's having tomorrow. I would ask you to remember him in your prayers. Sometimes the Holy Spirit works like this. He'll bring something into your mind, you know, just out of the blue. So you might be, you know, busy about your tasks, busy at your place of work, or you might be, you know, running to the grocery store, whatever it is. And, you know, out of the blue, you know, the Holy Spirit will bring him to your mind, bring this show to your mind, bring the prayer to your mind. That's a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is inviting us into his work. By way of our acknowledgement, oh my goodness, yes, this is a prompting of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray now for Danny. So, you know, I want to invite you to do that. I want to invite you to always heed the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Always heed the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Always heed the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I could say that like ad infinitum, but it's so very important. This is God involving us in his work of redemption, in his work of salvation, in his work of healing, in his work of consolation, in his work of comfort, in his work of bringing truth. Heed those promptings of the Holy Spirit. You know, isn't it marvelous that God wants to mix with man? There's an old charismatic song that says, great things happen when God mixes with man. Great and awesome, wonderful things happen when God mixes with man. I think that's the way it goes. I would sing it, but oh, I'll save you that. That being said, you know, when those promptings come, God wants to mix with you. So heed them. And I can tell you in my own life, this happens regularly because we grow sensitive to them. You know, the more that we heed them, the more we observe them, the more our sensitivity grows to them. I mean, and that comes by way of prayer. It comes by way of our relationship with the Lord. We're more sensitive. And you know that in your own personal relationships. The more you get to know somebody, the more sensitive you are to what their needs are. You can anticipate it. Well, that happens. So we're you know, we kind of acclimate ourselves to the working of God in our lives. And so those promptings become moments when God is inviting us into this great work, and he wants to make use of us, you know. It's a privilege, isn't it, though? It's a royal and holy privilege. So heed those promptings. You know, sometimes I think that when I stand before the throne of God, you know, there are the sins of commission, the sins that we commit. You know, and we use the sacrament of reconciliation to be absolved of those sins so that we're not encumbered by them. And through penitential action, we atone for the residual effects of those sins. And we make use of plenary indulgences, just like we had the great opportunity to do this past Sunday on Divine Mercy Sunday. But it's the sins of omission, you know, the sins of omission that worry me a lot. So do the sins of commission. I'm not suggesting that they don't, but the sins of you know, the weaknesses and frailties of life, but the sins of omission, the times when the Holy Spirit's prompted me and I ignored it, or I was too busy, or it was inconvenient, or whatever the case may be, or I got distracted, or I didn't heed promptly, you know, that worries me. But oftentimes, you know, even like you, when you call in and you ask for prayer and we pray together, or you have a special need and we talk about it on the air, if you got a question, you know, at odd times of the day, sometimes even in the middle of the night, I'll get awoken and, you know, you'll come into my mind and I'll pray for you right on the spot. Or, you know, I'll be completely engaged in something, even sometimes giving a talk and boom, you know, something will come into my mind. Well, that's a little trigger from the Lord saying, hey, my loved one needs your prayer right now. I want to incorporate your prayer into this. And right then and there, even if I'm giving a talk, sometimes there's a part of me that immediately tries to heed that prompting. And I miss a lot. That's why I say the sins of omission. So I don't want you to miss them. You know, if we didn't miss them, it would be amazing. And just one little more word on this before I go to our caller. You know, I just want to share this with you. I don't think that we quite understand. I know that we don't comprehend fully. We never can, how it is that God does these things. But it's kind of like, you know, something happens within our soul when we heed a prompting of the Holy Spirit that opens our soul up. And the Lord enters in, and the Lord inhabits that prayer. He inhabits that prayer. He takes, you know, he takes the little stuff that we offer, you know, our little prayer, and it opens it. I can't explain it. It opens up a dimension, and he comes and he inhabits that prayer and he lifts it up. You know what? Maybe we were talking about the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass earlier on. Maybe it's kind of like how it is that he takes the matter of bread and wine and he enters into it and it becomes a perfect sacrifice offered to the Father. And maybe this intercessory prayer, I'm thinking this out as I'm talking, maybe this intercessory prayer is kind of part of that action, right? He takes the stuff we offer him, this little prayer, paltry as it may be, humble as it is, poverty-stricken as it might be, we offer it to him, and he comes and he inhabits it then, and it rises up to a new level in him and becomes something other than it would have been, you know? Anyway, let's go to Dita. I believe that is the way I'm pronouncing it. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. First-time caller from Toledo, Ohio, ringing my bell, listening to us via Catholic Radio app. How are you, Dita?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my question.
You're welcome.
I'm fighting myself because I'm doing a lot for a friend who is sick, and his family wants, they don't want to help him do anything. They don't cook. They won't pay for anything. They don't take care of him, but they also want to appear really good to the, you know, the outside community by coming in every once in a while and getting an update on how he's doing. And before he got sick with cancer, which was 3 years ago, his mother was sick and in a wheelchair, and I took care of her, too, mm-hmm. for 3 years. And mm-hmm. I, you know, my heart wants to help and do all the things, and I don't know if I'm burning out or what, but I feel like I'm on an island by myself. And the family doesn't care. And they're just fine having me do everything. But when other people from the outside get the updates, because I'm not about the community talking about what I do or don't do, but they do, and everyone's like, oh, you know, they're doing all the things. So I'm fighting myself. Am I being selfish, or should I keep doing this? You know, it's financially, I pay for everything. I cook, and they have asked, what can we do? And I say, well, can you cook a meal a couple times a week, or, you know, come over a couple times a week? And they won't. So when they ask, and I ask them, they won't do what I have. I just don't know where I go, and I've prayed about it.
Yes.
I'm just, there's no peace here.
Yeah. Well, you know, whenever there's no peace, then it's a sign that the devil's at work. So the question is, you know, how, you know, and what is God saying in this? So, you know, we can't possibly figure all of that out, but we can begin to work through it a little bit. So I have a couple of questions for you. Now, you say this person is a friend of yours. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So there's no biological relationship to this person.
None. No.
Okay. So you're doing this out of the goodness of your heart. Is that right?
Yeah. And
okay.
Part of so, it is after over time, I've done it now because nobody else will.
The family members that this are this person's. So how closely related are they? Are they siblings, parents, aunts and uncles?
Siblings.
Okay. All right. Well, so let's talk about this. You took care of the mom. You're taking care of this person. You're coming out of pocket to do that. There's no support for you. Are you a professional caregiver?
No.
All right. So they're not paying you anything, right?
No.
Not that we should evaluate charitable actions based on that. I just want to get a clear picture of what's happening. So now you're feeling used is what you're feeling, I think. You're feeling as though they are taking advantage of you. And no one wants to be taken advantage of. Nobody likes that feeling. I think that we've all been in that situation more than one time, to greater or lesser extent. You have been a very good Samaritan. You've been a very good, faithful daughter of God who cares for this person and who cared for this person's mother prior to that out of the goodness of your heart. What I think needs to happen here, you know, in the practical dimension, I would try to have a meeting with these people. And I would sit down and I would talk with them about the realities of it. I would lay out to them, you know, the fact of the matter that there's a financial burden that you're incurring to take care of this person. You would like some assistance with that. You know, you would like to know that they want to be involved. And it's not just for your sake, Dita, but it's for the sake of the person that you're caring for, to know that those who are closest to him love him or love her. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. You might have said that and I missed it. But that there is a true connection, filial and loving connection to this person. It would be helpful to this person's emotional and mental and physical well-being to know that the people that are closest to him love him. And that might be how it is that you appeal to them. As to whether
I have done that.
Yeah.
I have done that when their mother was sick. My friend would say to his sister, look, take mom out a little bit. She wants to spend time with you. She never would. All the time she was sick. And when their mother passed away, the sister said to me, boy, you've been more of a daughter than I have. And she could care less. When her mom died, she was like, let's just get this over with. And it broke my heart, right? This is what we have, right? And so now if I would say something to her that I would need some help, she puts it all back on him, so he gets mad at me.
Well, you know, clearly, the unfortunate reality is the family doesn't have compassion for the sick. you know, they're, at least if they have it, they're not demonstrating it. And, you know, as St. James says in his epistle, you know, if all you do is hear the word of God and you do not act upon it, you are, you know, you're deceiving yourself. So however it is that they look at themselves in reference to this, and it seems as though the sister had a pretty good appraisal of how she saw herself in light of her mother, there isn't anything that you can do then to infuse that into them. They either want to put forth an effort or they don't want to put forth the effort. So this brings it back to you and what are you to do? And, you know, it seems to me that, you know, in a certain way, it would be helpful for you to talk with a priest who can help you ferret through this. I have no idea if this guy that you're caring for has, you know, Social Security benefits or any other source of income, but you know, if there's a means by which you have some at least participation in providing for those needs, that's an important thing. The other thing I want to say, and this is a really lofty level kind of a thing that I'm going to say here. You know, I used the phrase, you know, taken advantage of, and no one likes to be taken advantage of, and we've all experienced that. But I'm coming to see more and more that we can only be taken advantage of if we perceive ourselves that way. If we try to see that we are an instrument of God in the situation and that God is entrusting to us a portion of his own suffering through the suffering that we're enduring sometimes for the sake of others, or even in the suffering of being taken advantage of, you know, that real emotional, you know, sword to the heart, you know, and that is like a serpent's bite, you know, that afflicts us in those moments when we know that we're being disregarded by people and they see us only in a utilitarian way. And also the suffering that you feel for him because his family does not show him affection, love, compassion, is not standing by him in his place of need. If we see ourselves through a new lens as being, you know, united to the cross of Christ in that way, but also being the love of God to this person in that way, it can help to quell those feelings and those emotions. That's not to say that we don't have boundaries. It's not to say that we don't take care of ourselves. It's not to say that we work ourselves, you know, to the bone, because then we're no use to anybody. We've got to take proper care for ourselves, you know, and so emotional as well as physical. So I would try to work with somebody that can help you to establish what that means. If you walk away and this person's completely on his own, I'm not quite sure what would happen. But then again, you know, it is necessary to determine to what extent is that your responsibility. However, you've not extricated yourself. So I'm thinking that you kind of feel as though there is a purpose in this for you. But it's important for you to care for yourself as well. So I'm not really sure I've helped you too much, Dita. But it's a very difficult situation that you find yourself in, and you're not alone in that. I know other people who have taken people in and have cared for these people, because they had no one else to care for them. And it is a saintly path. And it doesn't mean that the cross doesn't get heavy. By the same token, we have to make sure that this is the cross that our Lord's asking us to accept. And I think that that's where I'm calling you, is to that process of discernment. That's best figured out with you know, some time to pray through it with somebody who is near you, whether that be a priest or a lay spiritual director in the area. I'm not really sure. But I think that that would be my next step if I were you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and the good thing in all of this is before his mother died, or right after she passed away, you know, I was going to church all the time and I would say, hey, you want to go to church with me? And he never would. And I would never force that on him, but yes. I would always go. And he was so broken when she passed away because he was really close with her. And I said, well, why don't you go to church with me? Just see how you feel. And yes. He started going and he loves going. And now his family makes fun of the fact that he, you know, oh, I can't believe he goes to church, and they don't. And I'm like, well, you do you. We're going to church, you know?
See, well, I mean, look at the spiritual fruit that's being yielded there, you know? So And again, I don't think that, you know, if you read Faustina's diary, here's a saint, she's a mystic, Jesus appears to her and asks her to be his secretary, right? And mm-hmm. she talks about how maligned she sometimes feels by her fellow sisters, you know, and she works it out with her spiritual director as well as with Jesus. And so, you know, I would encourage you in that way, but you can see the spiritual fruit. They're blind. So maybe you and he can pray a rosary a day for these poor people who are so desperately far removed from, you know, this compassion and this love of God, lest their souls perish. Who knows that God's not called you to into a cooperative effort for that regard? Maybe that's one of the goods that God wants to work out of his illness is, you know, this. We can have compassion for people who have no compassion if we work out of the mercy and the compassion of God. You know, and here, mercy, I'm not talking about, oh, you know, I'm giving, you know, the mercy in the juridical sense of the thing, but I'm talking about mercy in terms of love. Asking God, okay, look, I really don't feel any love for this person right now. As a matter of fact, I'm rather angry and upset about it, but I'm going to pick up these beads and I'm going to apply them right now. And I'm asking for your love to make this prayer holy. Because I sure don't have it right now. That's a good prayer, and God will answer it. Mary in Columbus, Ohio writes to us, Dita, and says, Dita should get certified and become a professional caregiver and actually charge the family, and it's a good career for people who care. And that's true. It's a compassionate enterprise. We have to blend that compassion with it. There are some people that, you know, just do it, and they have no love. But Dita, you're a woman of great love, and the fact that sometimes that love gets tried is not unusual. By the same token, you have to care for yourself too, so that you can care for him. So I would advise you to go in that direction, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart, and thank you for what you're doing. You're a good sign and a witness for all of us today. Thank you so much. Let's go to Angeli. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's a Cajun pronunciation, but I'm going Angeli. She is in Louisiana listening to Christ Our King Radio. Hey, Angeli, am I saying it correctly?
Hi, no, it's Angel.
Angel.
You have to say the en and the je.
Angel. Oh, it's French. It's a Cajun pronunciation.
Yes,
the French comes. Oh, that's a beautiful name.
Thank you. And my daughter is Jeanette. She's the third generation with that name. It's
and how do you spell that?
J-E-A-N-N-E-T-T-E.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, Jean is the French for John. So my name, Jeanette, you know, is Jeanette in French, just like was Joan of Arc's. Joan is also a derivative of that. Anyway, you have something you want to share, so go for it.
Yes. So in South Louisiana, we have what's called traiteurs. Again, I'll say it, traiteurs.
Okay.
And if you write it down, it looks like traitor. Like traitor, like you're betraying your country, you're a traitor, okay?
Okay.
But it's Cajun traiteur, and so it's healing Catholics who prey upon you, and it's not voodoo, it's not hocus pocus. The Catholic Church recognizes it, the you know, the priests know about it, there have been books written, the whole nine yards. And so I was suffering from migraines for years. I went to a neurologist. And my papa, who only spoke Cajun French till he was 10, said, Argel, there's a man that lives by your house. He's a traiteur. Tell him I sent you. And the rules are you cannot thank them, but you can leave a little tip because Cajuns are poor, right? So you can leave a little tip, but you can't thank them because it's God, it's not them. So the gentleman prayed on me for like 5 minutes. I never had another headache or migraine ever. And so many, many people have been doing this for hundreds of years. And, you know, there's a lot of more info about it. A man traitor can only pass it down to a female and vice versa. My husband's grandmother's specialty was snake bites. And so people all around the area would know that, you know, his grandmother would do snake bites. And so anyway, I just, you know, it's an awesome, awesome thing. Again, it's not, you know, voodoo. It's not craziness. It's a Catholic healer, and it's called a traiteur. And they're still in Louisiana.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Angel, I'm familiar with the Catholic Charismatic Renewal and praying with people, but I've not heard of this. So I'm going to look it up, and I thank you for calling in today. And thank you very much. I appreciate it. Molly, I can't get to you. Please do call back. But I do want to say this. Eva in upstate New York called and said, Johnette, Danny's experience sounds slightly similar to mine. I had unexplained migraines and took it 5 years to find out it was an unusual form of celiac disease. So there, Danny, that's something else you might investigate. Well, I thank all of you for being with us today. And until we're together again, God bless you now. Bye.